You'll recall that the first step of the positive case I offered for the resurrection of Jesus as an historical event was that the majority of New Testament critics today accept the historicity of the empty tomb, the post-mortem appearances, and the origin of the disciples' belief in Jesus' resurrection. And I described the revolution that has taken place in resurrection studies over the last half century. Bishop Spong says, well, this is a politician's trick, just trying to say that most scholars agree with you when in fact they do not. Now, I will say that I did say that deliberately and on purpose. And the reason I did is because over and over again, as I prepared for this debate in Dr. Spong's books, I found him assuring his readers that no scholar takes these resurrection narratives literally, that most scholars think that the empty tomb is an unhistorical legend, that few scholars think that Jesus appeared physically alive from the dead. And as a person who has done his doctorate in the resurrection at the University of Munich, I knew that these statements were false. I know the literature, and I knew that these statements were misleading his readers. And so I wanted deliberately to communicate to you today that when Dr. Spong says, for example, no scholar he knows of thinks that the Gospels are biographies, no scholar he knows of dates the book of Acts earlier than AD 62, with all due respect, he's simply out of touch with contemporary scholarship. Take the question of the Gospels being biographies. Graham Stanton, British New Testament scholar, says 20 years ago, only a few scholars dared to challenge the belief that the Gospels were unique in literary genre. But he says Richard Burridge's book, What Are the Gospels, turned the tide of scholarly opinion. So that today scholars do recognize these are of a biographical genre. They're not mythology. They're not myth. They're not midrash. They're a historical form of writing, and I think accurate ones at that. Michael Goulder, whom he cites, is one of the most radical and isolated maverick New Testament critics on the scene today. Hardly anybody agrees with Goulder's views, whereas the majority do accept that the Gospels are of the genre of biography. Also, with regard to the resurrection, my colleague Gary Habermas has recently completed a survey of over 1,400 articles published over the last 25 years on the resurrection. And his survey showed that 75% of scholars who have dealt with the subject argued in favor of the historicity of the empty tomb, and there was nearly universal agreement concerning the appearances and the origin of the disciples' belief in Jesus' resurrection. So these are indeed facts that are recognized by the majority of scholars today. Now, Dr. Spong says, but it's not multiply and independently attested, as you claim, because the Gospels have Mark as their only primary source. Not at all. As I argued, the non-Matthean vocabulary in the Gospel of Matthew shows that Matthew is using an additional source besides Mark. John is independent of Mark, so that's an additional source. Luke and John both have the story of the disciples, Peter and John, visiting the tomb. So they don't get that from Mark, and they're independent of each other, so that's traditional. I mentioned the sermons in the book of Acts, which mentioned the empty tomb. So the empty tomb is abundantly attested by multiple and independent sources, one of the most important criteria for historicity. He says, but there was a period of 40 years of tradition. Well, I don't think that's true in the first place. Scholars like Bo Reike, Donald Guthrie, Colin Hemer, all date the book of Acts prior to AD 62. But even given his late dating, remember what Sherwin White said. Even two generations is too short a time span to allow legendary tendencies to wipe out the hard core of historical facts. There may be discrepancies in the circumstantial aspects of the narratives, but on the core, as I showed you, they are remarkably harmonious and unified. And remember, we're not talking about a 40-year gap. Mark's source for the Passion goes back to within 7 years of the crucifixion. Paul's information in 1 Corinthians 15 goes back to within 5 years of the crucifixion. This makes the window of opportunity for the accrual of legend to be virtually impossible. So I think we have good grounds for affirming these facts.